Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech Prime Minister has backed Ukraine's efforts to join the European Union. Prague is sending military medical materials to Ukraine, and the Czech Republic has refused to play Russia in a potential football playoff. The Czech Prime Minister Petr Fiala says he supports Ukraine's efforts to join the European Union. Speaking on Monday, he said it was necessary to make clear that the country was welcome in the European Community of Democratic States. Mr. Fiala made the comments hours after President Volodymyr Zelensky called for Ukraine to be immediately admitted to the EU under a special fast-track procedure. The Czech leader said he was in favour of standard procedures, but added this was not a standard situation. The Czech Ministry of Defence is planning to send military medical equipment to Ukraine. Defence Ministry Anna Chernochova told Czech Radio on Monday the delivery should arrive in the country this week. She said Czech arms makers had offered to give munitions and weapons to Ukraine, but such donations would have to go through her ministry. The Czech Republic has to date donated a total of 650 million crowns in military materials to Ukraine, Ms. Chernochova said. This includes artillery ammunition donated in January, 188 million crowns in small arms and ammunition, and unspecified military materials worth 400 million crowns. Prices tumbled on the Prague Stock Exchange on Monday morning, evidently in response to the latest sanctions imposed by Western countries on Russia following its invasion of Ukraine. The main PX index had fallen by 3% by 10 a.m. Shares in banks took the biggest hit, though those in arms maker Česká zbrojovka and internet security firm Avast bucked the trend and increased in price. Prices fell sharply on Thursday on the day of the Russian attack, but rose again the following day. The regular test of public emergency sirens in the Czech Republic will not take place this week, the country's fire service said on Monday. The alarms usually go off at noon on the first Wednesday of every month. However, they will remain silent this week to prevent panic among the public and out of respect for the Ukrainian citizens seeking safety in this country, the fire service said. Police are investigating Communist Party politician Zdeněk Ondráček after he expressed admiration for Vladimir Putin's treatment of Ukraine on social media, the news site nowvlivni.cz reported. Mr. Ondráček wrote on Facebook on February 18th that he admired the Russian leader's patience with what he called the Ukrainian fascist rabble. The former MP was a member of the communist-era Czechoslovak police and beat students during demonstrations in early 1989. The Czech Republic will not play a potential football World Cup playoff against Russia following the country's invasion of Ukraine, the Czech FA said. A spokesperson said the Czech national team would under no circumstances take part in a possible game against the Russians. Russia are due to host Poland in the semi-finals of World Cup playoffs on the 24th of this month, rather of March. If they advance, they would host either the Czech Republic or Sweden 5 days later. Finally, look at the weather forecast. It should be mainly sunny in the Czech Republic on Tuesday with an average high temperature of 5 degrees Celsius. The following days are expected to be overcast. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news. Hello, listener. This is Radio Prague International and my name is Ian Willoughby. Today, Russia's attack on Ukraine has provoked an unprecedented wave of solidarity here in the Czech Republic. Czech IT experts have created an online directory to enable Czechs to help Ukraine. And later, we meet the Czech sound designer who's worked on some of the world's biggest TV series. All that's coming up, so do please stay with us. The Russian military aggression in Ukraine and the country's brave efforts to resist the invasion have sparked an unprecedented wave of solidarity here in the Czech Republic. It's not just the close proximity of the country, located only 300 kilometres away, but also echoes of the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia that have jolted politicians and the public into action. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Normally a reserved player on the international scene, the Czech Republic has lost no time in responding to Ukraine's appeals for weapons and aid. Announcing a third delivery of military equipment to the country in a matter of days, Prime Minister Petr Fiala said there was no time to be lost.
We have the same historic experience. We know what Russian aggression is like. The Ukrainian people are defending their freedom and fighting for their lives. Words of support are not enough. We must give them exactly what they need to defend themselves.
The Czech Republic has sent the country submachine guns, sniper rifles, pistols and ammunition, and on Sunday dispatched unspecified weapon systems, which President Zelensky personally requested in a phone call with Prime Minister Fiala. The armed forces also dispatched hundreds of tons of fuel. Defense Minister Jana Černochová said the ministry was ready to respond to any further requests made by Ukraine as best as it could, and was currently organizing blood donations and collecting medical aid for the country.
We have been making lists of people in the armed forces and reservists who are willing to donate blood for Ukraine. We have sufficient blood donations at this stage and are negotiating how and where it will be transported. The Ministry of Defense is also collecting and transporting medical aid and humanitarian supplies collected for Ukraine in the regions.
In the past few days, the Czech Republic has actively lobbied for harsher sanctions against Russia in the EU, including the country's exclusion from the international payment system SWIFT. Within a series of unilateral measures, the country has stopped issuing visas to Russian citizens, except in humanitarian cases, and is urging the EU to implement a similar measure across the Schengen space. The cabinet has approved the potential deployment of up to 580 Czech troops to the North Atlantic Alliance's Rapid Reaction Force anywhere in NATO and has closed its airspace to Russian airlines. The Czech Prime Minister said that while isolating Russia would be costly, Europe must be prepared to pay the price for future European security. He said the latest developments in Ukraine showed the importance of investing the required 2% of GDP into defence, which the Czech Republic is committed to fulfilling by 2025, and the importance of severing the EU's dependence on Russian oil and gas, issues that were previously questioned by some Czech politicians. The government was also super quick to respond to the humanitarian crisis, evolving just 300 kilometers from the country's eastern border, saying it was ready to take in any number of Ukrainian refugees, a decision that has won backing from political parties across the board, as well as the broad public. As one commentator noted, President Putin has accomplished what no one else could. He has united Czech politicians and the public alike, albeit for a short time. But even when the worst is over, this is a lesson that Czechs and the rest of the world are unlikely to forget.
Within just a single weekend, an initiative of IT experts known as Česko Digital has set up an online directory of ways in which people in Czechia can help war-stricken Ukraine. Called Stand With Ukraine, the website also works as a directory for Ukrainian refugees seeking help with issues ranging from transport and housing to legal assistance. Tom McEncrow has more.
When wars or humanitarian catastrophes suddenly appear, people are often eager to offer support to those who have been impacted. However, it can be difficult to navigate through the wide and often uncoordinated range of NGOs and websites that offer various ways through which to pitch in. To avoid this problem occurring during the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, the Česko Digital Initiative, in cooperation with several NGOs and volunteer groups, has created StojimeZaUkrajinou.cz, a website which seeks to provide a central platform for anyone wishing to donate or otherwise help Ukrainians in their struggle against invading Russian forces. Martina Hábová, the marketing manager of Česko Digital, explains.
We wanted to give all Czechs willing to help a unified platform where they can access all different forms of support. At the same time, we wanted these forms of support, whether they are through NGO projects, forms of direct aid to the Ukrainian army, or housing options for refugees, to be verified. This is because people are, of course, worried about sending money somewhere where it may not actually be used for its intended purpose. So this was also our goal, to gather a wide range of verified contacts.
She says that there had originally been several projects on how to create such a website running in parallel. However, the sheer speed of events in Ukraine after Russia invaded the country on Thursday morning led everyone to interconnect and create a unified website within 48 hours. To achieve this target, over 150 volunteers coordinated via platforms such as Slack and Google Docs over a single weekend, often working long into the night, says Ms. Habová.
The speed, extraordinary input and broad response, both within society and among volunteers, is impressive. Many are coming to us and want to join in the aid effort. People working in competing companies are coming together to create a unified pro bono project. Everyone is very proactive, helpful and hardworking. It's an unforgettable experience to be part of this.
The result is a website that offers information as well as direct access to relevant websites, both for those offering and those requiring help. Forms of support include direct financial aid, legal help for refugees, emergency housing, transport, and psychological support helplines for people in shock. There is also a special marketplace on the platform where individuals can either directly offer or select from offers of help. The website can be viewed both in Czech and in the Ukrainian language. Ms. Habová says that the website is largely finished, but could still be fine-tuned in the future.
The main aim of our collaboration with We Stand Behind Ukraine was to create this website. Now we have to keep it running and up to date. We will be focusing on that this week. Normally, our work is focused on creating systems and then handing them over to a caretaker. In previous projects, this has been the case, and we're looking to continue with this tradition when it comes to the current project. We're also discussing the option of adding maps to the website. However, this is very much in its early stages right now.
StojimeZaUkrajinou.cz is already the fourth web project of the Česko Digital Initiative in recent years. Previous projects included Učíme Online, an online system that could run webinars and offer tech support to schools closed down during the COVID pandemic, or the government's COVID portal website.
Now, words of support for Ukraine and tributes to its brave nation have been flooding the Czech media, social networks and digital space. The Czech singer Tomáš Klus paid tribute to the nation with a new song, simply entitled Ukraine. And it's expected to be the highlight of a charity concert for Ukraine that's taking place on Prague's Wenceslas Square on Tuesday evening. So let's hear a little bit of that song right now.
Ďakujem za vašu silu, ďakujem za vašu mužnosť, ďakujem za motiváciu. Не піддавається нелюдняності. Дякую за вашу силу. Дякую за вашу мужність. Дякую за мотивацію. Не піддавається нелюдняності. То, що ти хочеш зіст ze всього найвіц, є, що се скланім před твою одвагою. Před силою твоєї душі, що се тваří тваж грузе. Не розпадла на мільйон частей. То, що ти хочеш зіст ze всього найвіц, odtud, kde je zatím klidné nebe nad Prahou, že jsem díky tobě ušel kus cesty rychlé chůze ke své lásce k vlasti.
And that was part of the song Ukraine by the Czech singer Tomáš Klus. Now, in the very last part of our show today, I speak to Juraj Mravec. Juraj is a Czech sound designer who's worked on The Crown and other top international TV shows.
This country was still great when I came to the throne. All that's happened on my watch is the place has fallen apart.
You cannot flinch. It's only fallen apart if we say it has. That's the thing about the monarchy. We paper over the cracks.
Scores, if not hundreds of millions of TV viewers around the world have enjoyed the work of Czech sound designer Juraj Mravec. The 43-year-old has worked on a long list of shows that include such commercial and critical hits as The Crown, Veep, Black Mirror and Peaky Blinders. When Mravec stopped by at our studio, the conversation took in everything from the difference between international and Czech productions to what precautions he takes to protect his hearing. Well, my first question, Juraj, is quite a general one. What qualities do you need to be a successful sound man?
You need to be able to listen, but I don't know, I'm not sure like if there's anything such as a talent thing for sound. I think it's more like you have to be like involved in the film and you have to be able to work with films and be able to follow the story of a film. I think that's kind of like crucial, I think. And obviously then, like, yes, you need to have some reasonably, I don't know, sophisticated hearing, but a lot of that I think comes with practice. Like, you can really train your ears up quite a lot.
And what exactly do you do? Because on your IMDb entry, it lists you as a sound effects editor, a Foley recordist, an ADR mixer. What exactly do you do?
Okay, well, these are like all basically like sub-professions of a sound designer on a film or on a TV show. If you look at what happens with how a soundtrack is produced, then you obviously start on the set. You start with a recording and you have a person who does that. So that's kind of like one profession. And basically, especially in the UK and the US, it's people who do just that. They don't work in the studio. They're just on the set. They're called production sound mixers. And then you go into post-production when you prepare all the sounds, when you edit them, record them, you have to find them somewhere. That's the part which I'm involved in. And there is, as I said, several sub-professions in there. You have to record some dialogues with the actors because some dialogues might have been missed on the set or the set was noisy. It just wasn't possible to record everything or the director wants to add a new line. So that's what an ADR mixer does. Some sounds are missing and will be done by a sound effects editor. So sound effects editor works with these like huge sound libraries. And, you know, you may go out and record some sound effects, such as like atmospheres of a place or sounds of a car going by. And a sound effects editor will then collect these and edit them, work with them and work them to the picture. Then there's this beautiful thing called Foley, which is basically sounds recorded in a studio in sync with the picture, such as there's a scene, somebody comes into a restaurant and, you know, they get glasses. So you actually have glasses in the studios and you put them down on the table and the Foley artists do that in sync with what's happening and they can do footsteps. You have dialogue editors who cut just the dialogue and clean it up. It's amazing what they can do these days. And then you have the mixer who then mixes all these sounds together.
And typically, would you be on the set for the shoot of a TV series, for example?
I work as a sound effects editor or supervising sound editor, which means I'm responsible for the whole part of like editing all the sounds. So I wouldn't be, no, that would be the production sound mixer who would be recording the sounds on the set. But what might happen is if there is something quite special going on the set that we know already, like right from the start, that it's going to be really difficult to get that from either libraries or just to recreate that again, then we will go as like a second team on the set and hopefully we'll get a chance to record the stuff. So for example, historical cars. If there's something happening in the Second World War and you will have like all this equipment on the set, then hopefully you'll be able to negotiate with the production that they'll let you spend, I don't know, half a day or a day on the set somewhere slightly to the side and be able to record all these things because that's obviously very precious. So I will go on the set like in this sense, like to pick up various sounds, but not actually to the recordings of the actors and of the action. Somebody else will do that.
Your list of credits is incredibly long. I think it was like 100 I saw or something like that on IMDb. Are there any projects you've worked on that you're particularly proud of?
I think the project which I liked the most was The Crown because it was just like my kind of show, I suppose. It's not like saying it's better or worse than something else. It's just kind of like I really liked it. And it was a really good script and a really good story. And it's still going on, actually. And I really enjoyed that. So I liked it for the story and for what it is. But I also liked it for the possibilities we had with sound because there was like so much attention to detail as it was in all the other elements of the whole show, from costumes to camera. that it was really challenging, but at the same time it was really satisfying to work on that show, and I really enjoyed that. In the Czech Republic, I really enjoyed working on the feature film of Jan Svěrák, Kuky se vrací, which I thought was the most fun project to work on.
Also, I guess if you work on something like The Crown, that's like a world hit. That's one of the biggest TV shows of the year on the planet, right?
It is, and it was at the time when it came out. Basically, that was Netflix like number one show. They've never spent more money on they have now, but at the time that was the biggest budget they've ever done on a TV show. And yes, luckily it was very successful.
Everybody says that there's a really high level of technical standards in the Czech Republic for filmmaking, and that's why so many foreign crews come here. But when you work here, when you work in London or maybe the States, how does it really compare in reality? Are the standards comparable here and there?
I think in certain aspects they are, in certain aspects less so. Well, the reason why the foreign filmmakers come here is they come here for the filming, for the actual production on the set. And I think that's because obviously they can get very good prices here, but also like the crews are quite amazing here and they get really good, as you said, technical expertise. So I think the people who work on the set are really, really quite good. Then when you go to post-production, from my experience, what I've been able to see, then let's say a craft such as sound design, which is what I do. I mean, I can't really talk about everything else because I haven't experienced it enough. But in terms of the post-production of sound, which is what I do, it is quite different in London, I have to say, or in Los Angeles. That's actually the main reason why I went there about 10 years ago. Before I moved to London, I was like, the big question for me was like, so how come? How come those American and British films, how come they sound so great when I go to the cinema? They just sound amazing. And, you know, we spend like all this time working on this Czech film and it sounds good, but you can just tell, like, it's not there. It's not the same thing. And so I was really kind of intrigued by this question and I really kind of wanted to get to the bottom of this. And I thought the only way to find out is to move there, basically, and to become part of the teams. And it took me some time to find out, but I think like the main reason is, one of the things I observed is like there is a way of actually looking after the craft and passing it on to young people, which there isn't in the Czech Republic with sound, for example. It's kind of like you become part of a team here and everybody kind of learns for themselves. It's kind of, and it's quite exciting because you get thrown at things and you have to figure them out yourself, and you do. And, you know, you make mistakes and you learn from them and it takes you a couple of years, but you get there. It doesn't really happen like that in London. Like you basically have to assist someone for a couple of years and you have to learn things the way they're doing them. That can be quite excruciating, quite difficult, and maybe sometimes quite depressive, but it actually gets you into a really good place really fast. Another thing I notice, somehow there's more competition between the people. I don't know why. We always had people coming into the studio asking for a job, basically, all the time. Like, and people wanted to start at like the lowest position possible as a runner, whereas here it can be slightly even like difficult to get people so that you can manage the projects. That's another thing. And then I think, of course, the scale of the industry is different there and the budgets. And that also has a substantial impact. And the attention all the projects get from the producers is massive.
I have a question about Czech films. I often sense when I'm watching Czech films, or I have in the past anyway, that the actors have dubbed themselves later. And I know this happens elsewhere. Is it the case that it's done more in this country, in the Czech film industry, or is it the case that it's done less well and is more obvious? Because sometimes it seems so obvious to me.
I agree with you, unfortunately. It's not done more than it would be on the British or American films. It's done not as well, basically. That's the simple answer. There's several reasons for it. Part of it is actually the skill, to be honest, of the sound designers. It's done slightly different here than it is done in London. There's more people involved in London, like more people supervising it, and that does help. And there is a certain method which is slightly different, which really helps. Another thing is, which I think is really not helping with the Czech films, with the voices and revoicing, is that there's this whole thing of like doing the Czech versions of all the foreign films, and like most of the actors do that for a living. And I think it somehow damages them.
They articulate too much or something?
No, it's like, that's like, you know, because that's like a very fast thing that they have to like do the whole film in a couple of hours, basically, and they do it with the exception of like some maybe animated feature films for cinema when it's like a real proper setup and like they have the time to do it. All these like television things which are dubbed for television into Czech, they just have to do it really quickly. So they basically like they read through the script with a little bit of acting, and the thing's not there because it can be because it's a different language, and there's this like certain like tone in their voice when they do that, and I think that kind of like stay with them for the ADR, and I find it incredibly difficult actually to like snap them out of this. And you know, the British and American actors, they've never had the opportunity to do this, which is probably a good thing.
I'm almost surprised to learn that there's so much of this revoicing or dubbing by actors of themselves in the UK or in the States. Is it really a lot? Like if I watch an episode of Veep or something, how much of it is recorded kind of authentically on the set and how much is added later or changed later?
It's like, I mean, of course it differs for every film, but I would say about like 80% is the original dialogue and like the 15-20% or so is redone. Obviously, we try to use as little of the re-recorded stuff as possible because it's like, you know, it's incredibly difficult to recreate a performance in a studio while it first happened on the set with, I don't know, 100 people around there and like in the actual environment. It's just different.
In the same way that, for example, an opera singer, when they go on a plane, they're always sucking lozenges and taking different measures to make sure their voice is not affected. Do you have to look after your ears?
Yeah, I do to an extent because it's a long career and there are long days that you work. And especially when you're mixing, especially if it's for cinema, but even TV these days, you work at quite loud levels. And, you know, the day can be 8-9 hours, but also 10, 11, 12 if it has to be. And like your ears really get tired. I mean, there isn't that much you can do, but obviously, I mean, I don't listen to anything on the headphones, for example, like at the end of the day, like when I walk home or when I'm walking on the street, I'm just listening to the street, which I really like listening to the atmosphere of the world around us. So that's one thing. The second thing is I don't really go to very loud places such as like concerts and like nightclubs, not anymore. Just because it's just too much for the ears. And I've had a couple of times when, you know, I went even to a pub and we had to go to a different one because it was just too loud with the music and everything. And yes, there are actually these very clever headphones, which are like these like pods. They're like done as a mold, especially for your ear. It's like a print of your ear and you put it inside your ear and it fits really well. And it takes the level of the sound down by like 15 dB or something like that. And in theory, it should still sound the same. It doesn't exactly, but it's actually pretty good. So I have those just in case, like if I know I have to go to somewhere where it's loud, so I have them like available. And like, you know, you may use those like even like on a mix if somebody else on the mixing stage is going through a very loud sequence and just like re-editing. So, yes, I mean, I'm doing these things and you kind of have to, I think, in order to keep your ears fresh.
And that was Juraj Mravec, the Czech sound designer, who I spoke to in July of 2020. That's all we have time for right now here on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you so much indeed for joining us. I'll speak to you again very, very soon.